Doing the Sefer HaMidot, we're up to page Shin Lamed Zayin, Shar HaSin'ah, the fourth chapter. V'lachen tir'eh le'ehov oto al shem sofo. So we said one should be careful not to hate his fellow man. And sometimes you see something wrong with the person. Nonetheless, one should train himself to like the person and look beyond the moment, look down the road. We know that often God weighs a person and factors in the good that a person will do down the road. Our sages say this concept is alluded to in this verse in Job, that God looks down the road, he knows what's yet to come. And sometimes for the sake of something that's yet to happen, God is willing to consider that merit. It says that God forbade us from attacking Ammon and Moab because there was still some good that was yet to come out of Ammon and Moab. Naamah Ammonit, one who continued the Davidic dynasty, and Ruth, the Moabite. So for those two, God wouldn't allow us to attack the whole people of Ammon and Moab. So God factors in what's yet to come. Obviously, philosophically, this brings us to the whole discussion of free will and knowing God's knowledge of the future. But at any rate, that means that when we look at someone, we should be able to see beyond the moment. I'll give you a small example. We wake up Shabbos morning, and the cake that was supposed to be for Shabbos day is half eaten, and you see hands in it. So you come to the 3-year-old, 2-year-old, and they got crumbs on their mouth, and you say, someone ate from the cake. And they say, I didn't do it. Now what are you going to do? So it gets a little complicated. I'll tell you a trick I do with the 4-year-old. The 4-year-old knows to wipe her mouth. So I say, do me a favor, just open your mouth. I want to look down into your stomach and see. And suddenly they go, you know. And you say, really, you didn't do it. Okay. So the question is, how do you treat that? Sometimes a kid will take something they're not allowed to take, and they'll hold it behind their back, looking at you with this guilty look. And what happens by the second or third kid, it's sort of entertaining. You're used to this. This is like a part of their natural growth. And you look at it and you know, yeah, this is what's going to happen. It's part of what happens when you're a teacher of the same grade over and over again. You start seeing the same wise alecks, the same jokes, and you know what's coming. So if you're an educator, then you've developed a system in dealing with it, and you're watching for the growth. It's a stage the kid will pass. Most children go through a stage when they steal. They go through that stage at around 6 years old, and then they hit it again at around 9 years old, 9, 10 years old. Could it even be at 11, 12 years old. Okay, you don't have to get so excited. You have to work with the kid. You got to help the kid. But what happens to the beginning parent is that they start thinking, I'm bringing up a thief. My son's a thief. No, he isn't. He's a normal kid. How many kids, I don't want to ask you guys, I don't want to embarrass anyone, but most kids, if they only remember, then they know that they've had a time when standing at the checkout counter, a pack of bubblegum made it to their pocket, and maybe to their mouths, and maybe more than one pack, and maybe later than just being a little kid. So a person should do tshuva, you know, if a person knows he did it when he was of an older age, they should try to make amends to the store. But at the end of the day, it's a normal part of growing up. Yes, it's normal. So, as a parent, you look at a kid and you don't get all upset at the moment, because if you're a real parent, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you see beyond the moment. You deal with the moment, but you deal with it out of a vantage point of, where's this kid headed? So your kid's talking in shul. Do you go out of your wits, or do you say, maybe I brought him to shul when he was too young? Maybe I have to give him less time in shul. And if you yell at the kid for talking in shul, then chances are you're wrong. Chances are you shouldn't have brought him, and you should be yelling at yourself, and you're going to have to pay in shamayim for embarrassing the kid in front of other people. The kid's being a normal kid. You know, we go through this with each of our kids. Abba, I want to come to shul. You're too young. No, I want to come. You won't be able to sit quiet. No, I want to come. So you bring him for Kabbalah Shabbos. And after about 3 minutes, he's talking. And you say, no, shh. And after a minute later, he's talking again. And then you say, okay, look, it's not a punishment. You're not yet ready. But I know how to daven. Right. But you're not so interested. You'll grow a little older. You'll be able to focus on the davening and sit quietly. And then you'll be able to come. And the kid keeps begging every Friday night until finally you let him come. And then again, either it works or it doesn't work. You get upset at the kid. What'd you get upset at him for? He didn't do anything wrong. What?
You're the one that took him to show.
Right. So, before I had the rabbinate position in Kochav Yaakov, I would always take the kids first to a shul that was near the house. After a few minutes, when they got tired of being in shul, when they'd start talking, I'd ask them, do you want to go home? And if the kid said yes, I took them home. It's a little hard as a rabbi to walk out. You know, I don't have that convenience anymore, so you got to invent new systems. But again, you look beyond the moment. As a parent, you have to see the kid in the long term, not just the moment. In the long term, he's going to learn how to daven like a mensch, and there's nothing to get all upset, and there's nothing wrong with what he did. Well, the same is true for your fellow man. Your fellow man is also a work in progress. Did I tell you guys this? I told someone this week. But I always wanted to have a t-shirt that said, I am a work in progress. I always wanted to have this t-shirt, because it's the truth. I'm not yet perfect. I don't know if I'll ever be, but it's a, you know.
You don't need a t-shirt. You know you're working.
Everyone knows it. Okay, right. Okay, I'm saying it.
We can get to your stage of the work. But
we're all working. I'm saying a guy came to me, Matzei Shabbos, and said, I want to criticize you. I said, good, okay, I'm listening. And now I'm no different than you. I said good because I know it was the right thing to say. I don't like criticism any better than the next guy. But I know I'm, you know, if someone wants to criticize me, then I should listen. I'll grow from it.
Yeah, I like this country.
You like this country? Yeah, where a person comes to you after shul and says, Rabbi, I want to criticize you. Okay, I'm listening. Fine. Happens to have been an American. You said, I like this country, so you should just know. Anyways. Coming back to here, we look at our fellow man. So the Magen Midivna says, you want to love your fellow man, see beyond the moment. Right now, he's at a stage. Will he outgrow the stage or not? We hope he will. I don't have to get so ticked at him because of where he's holding. There are many stories that illustrate this. The problem is that we always forget the stories. Like when we're faced with the situation at hand, we see the moment big time, and we don't see the past or the future. Yes?
Just a question I heard, because it brings this to mind, what you just said about even in a situation where Hashem is saying, which is incredibly rare, you know, blot out everybody. Amalek. I heard that Rabbi Meir came from a descendant of Amalek. So even there, where we were supposed to have done it, something good could come, which just shows that this potential for holiness in even the worst of things.
Right. So, but that's an example of where I have to deal with the here and now. I don't have a choice.
Right.
Meaning I have to deal with the problem now.
Shem says it. It's one thing for us to... I don't know. I mean, you tell me. I mean, has there ever been a case where a servant has blotted out a whole people and he's stoned?
You see that Hashem took out Lot from Sodom, and you see they were given a chance, and they were given more chances than you see on the surface. And with Amalek, a person can convert from Amalek. We've had converts from Amalek. Even Haman's descendants converted. That's where Rabbi Meir came from. And you... I heard a quote. I never saw it inside, but I heard a quote that there's a Zohar that says... that the verse by Amalek says, Timche tzecher Amalek mitachat ha-shamayim, only under heaven, but above heaven God has something for them. Meaning it's only down here you got to deal with what you see. What you see is problematic. The issue is it's very hard. You look at someone and what you see is what's annoying to you. That's what you see most. Hey, we always have to remind ourselves that the other person is a broad person. There's much more to the person than what I see. And I have no idea where they're coming from or where they're going to. Some of the people that I value most, that I really look up to, if other people look at them, they say, what kind of Jew is that? And if you have a broader perspective and you start knowing where a person's coming from, you suddenly see, wait a second, he's amazing. How did he put up with all that? I'd never be able to put up with what he's put up with. So, okay, I'll tell you one story. Guys once got together and asked me to get involved and tell one of the guys who was here that he really has to learn how to be a mensch, that he's really annoying and he's not fun to be with. And I didn't. Now, why didn't I? Because I knew that this guy was kicked out of his house at 5 years old and grew up on the streets, literally. Grew up in the slums with drug addicts. He has parents who are, crazy. At age 13, he tried coming back home only to hear from his parents that they hate him and don't want to see him and he's welcome to leave and not welcome into the house at 13 years old. At 18, he told me it was the first time he was able to sleep in a room without homeless people. The first time he remembered being in an apartment where he could go to sleep at night and not worry that he's going to wake up with half his items gone or be infested with someone else's fleas. No. He came here in his 30s. Came here in his 30s or 40s. And he wasn't such a terrible guy. He had certain habits that weren't so pleasant. I guess if you come from a relatively normal background and you're with a guy who's been building and building and building, so he had a few habits that were slightly annoying. But you know what? Given his history, where he came from, and the fact that so many people turned on him, and I have bad news for you. The people who turned on him, some of them were Jews. You know, it's we'd like to say, you know, this is like someone else, not me. No, people, Jewish people. His mother got married a second marriage. Her second husband said, I don't want you in the house. Could you imagine turning away a 13-year-old boy? The man was Jewish, right? So you hear these stories and you say, how does he, you know, he was able to build himself to the point that he's willing to recognize he was even coming to convert to Judaism, that he wants to be a part of the Jewish people? What's going on here? Look at what an amazing human being. So yeah, he's not the most perfectly polite person. Well, he had no one to teach him. And everything else he's done is so amazing. But I couldn't share that with anyone. That was his personal story. So everyone else looks at him and says, you know, he's pretty annoying. Okay? He's not pretty annoying. He's great. He has one or two things about him that he hasn't yet perfected. As a roommate, it might not be so much fun to deal with. If you have the broader picture, you say, wow. Yes?
So, the annoying behavior you said this guy had, would it, let's say, another person from a relatively normal upbringing, would it have been less excusable for them? Like, at that point, you would have said, you can't deal with a person doing this or that, or...
No, I think in general, our approach to whether we can deal with something or not stems from our perspective. I told you guys the story about the super genius who came to class?
No.
The multimillionaire? Yeah, I told the story. Yeah. Okay, I'll summarize it in a nutshell. I told the guys there's the super genius computer whiz. He's best friends with Bill Gates, multimillionaire coming to class, right? Okay. Everyone's sitting in anticipation, and a guy walks in, torn jeans, long hair, smells like he hasn't showered in who knows how long, and everyone's buzzing about, yeah, when you're such a genius, then you don't have time to shower or do anything else, and, you know, and everyone's waiting to get a chance to talk to him. At the end of class, it turns out that he wasn't the guy I was talking about. Suddenly, everyone noticed everything else. Wait a second. When you thought he was that guy, then everything was great. No one minded sitting next to him. Everyone wanted to see everything he was doing because he had a different perspective. Okay, so that's true in everything. The question is what we look at. So we've spoken often about seeing the other person as a tzelem Elokim. And it's very hard. I'll tell you where we encounter it a lot as our parents age. Very often when people get older or when people get ill, it can be very difficult to deal with their hardships. And the question is, do you see the other person as a figure of God? Do you see it Tzelem Elokim? The Magen Midovna is stressing a different point. He's saying, life is long. You're seeing a moment of life. Try to look beyond the moment. The person still has room to grow. They're still going to develop. The only time you can hate someone is when you know, that's it, the person's gone for, he's such a terrible person, it ain't going to change. He ain't changing in this world or the world to come. As King David says, I hate those that you, Hashem, hate. That's who I hate. When you have a person who purposely does things that are wrong, and he does things just to spite, out of spite towards heaven, about people like that, our sages say, even when perdition will stop functioning, they won't, their punishment won't end. So that's, okay, the extraordinarily wicked people. The average person, a little bit better, a little bit worse. Life is long. Give him time. Let him grow. And you'll be surprised how far people can come. I've seen people who were the most annoying, but grew and grew. And sometimes you can't even imagine how far a person can come. And we got to give people a chance. And even if I'm not the one giving him a chance, but I don't have to judge him and decide, I hate him. I can't stand him. And I think that... very often we err in this. We err in it too often. I sit on a bus, someone gets on the bus and they're super annoying. You make a judgment call. We make judgment calls. I'm not saying you have to marry the person, but maybe we should train ourselves to refrain from making judgment calls. And that there's a rule they say for educators that very often you're going to get the most nachas. You're going to end up feeling the greatest satisfaction from the students who seemed least promising. It's interesting. I had one student who was the top of the class. This goes back a decade and a half, almost two decades ago. The guy who was top of the class committed suicide. He's not with us anymore today. And the guy who was the bottom of the class, this is a guy that I'd be given class and I'd give an example of tefillin. And it was like 12 noon. And he'd say, tefillin, gosh, Rabbi, I forgot. Can I go put on tefillin? You know, middle of the day, we're talking and I'd say the word tefillin. And he'd say, guess what, I forgot. Can I just go put on tefillin? At least he was honest, right? Yeah, the only problem is I was called down to the candy shop, told that I better be prepared to post bail because he was caught stealing candy. For the fifth or tenth time. Not so honest, right? Not so honest. But we're still in touch today, you know, and it's been almost 20 years now. The guy grew. He learned his lessons. 13, 14, if he was putting on tefillin, right? Okay, I guess that depends on how you call it. I'm just saying there's time. People have time to grow, and people do grow, and we don't have a right to judge a person just because right now they're annoying us. Okay, they might not be my best friend today, but let's see where time will bring them.